Amen. Thank you. Thank you for being here tonight. We're going to be sharing some glory stories with you. I said we're. There's going to be four people that's going to share with you tonight. But I just want to kick it off, read a few verses out of Psalm 145, beginning with verse 4. And because tonight we're going to be talking about glory stories, some of God's wonderful works, powerful works, His manifestation. The psalmist wrote this, he said, "One generation shall praise your works to another," and he's talking to the Lord here, "and shall declare your mighty acts. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. Men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. They shall utter the memory of your great goodness and shall sing of your righteousness." I'm not going to take but a moment to set the stage for these testimonies. As you can see, Revelation 12:11 on the screen, there's an overcoming that is enabled in us through the blood of Jesus, but also the word of our testimony and a commitment that goes the distance, even to death. So tonight, we just wanted to kind of stir the pot, so to speak, with a few stories, and I believe God is beginning to do something new in our midst. I encourage you to press in, to pray. I'm really excited about the things that I believe we are going to see, because God is good, and God is great. And like the psalmist says, I'm going to declare His wondrous works, His mighty works. And he says, from one generation to the other. Let's try to do a better job of passing down the God stories to our children. If you know some that happened in your family, your father, your mother, grandfather, grandmother, something you hear at church, pass those God stories down, because there's a rekindling generation after generation. How many times are we encouraged when we read about what God did in the lives of people in Scripture? And we can encourage our children by what God's done in our lives. So, first of all, I'm going to ask Mickey to come, and she's going to start with our testimony time.
All right. One of my favorite scriptures is Hebrews 13:8 that says, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we experienced a glimpse of that on a trip that we went on, a mission trip. In 2012, we took 18 people to Trinidad and Tobago, which is two twin Caribbean islands just off about 7 miles off the coast of Venezuela. And several of you, I see some of you raise your hand. You went with us, Mike, and yeah, there's 7 or 8 here who went with us on that trip. And you know, it was a great trip in a lot of ways. It was a challenging trip in some ways, but in one of the services, we at the end of the worship service, they were asking, you know, we were praying for people. And I was praying for some people, and one of the ladies said, asked us to pray for one lady that was on the worship team, that she did not have any hearing in her left ear. That apparatus of hearing in her left ear was completely gone. It had been destroyed. I forgot what the story was. And what? She had multiple infections, I believe, when she was a young girl, so she couldn't hear out of this ear. So my immediate thoughts were, oh my goodness, I need to get Eddie to pray for her. He operates in that gift of healing sometimes, and I'm like, and he was busy. He was tied up praying for people, and I knew the Lord wanted me just to step up and pray for her. And so as I laid my hand on her ear and began to pray for her, I had just this sense to pray for a creative miracle. I don't think I'd ever prayed for that before, but I just began to ask the Lord to restore in her ear everything that was lost, to take it back the way it was before it was ever damaged. And in just a moment, literally, she starts crying and lifting her hands and rejoicing and saying that she can hear. It was amazing. So I was stunned. We believe God, but yet those miracles bring awe to us, which is one of the purposes of them. They bring glory to the Lord when we are reminded of what He can do, because He has all power. What He has done before, He can do again, and that is His heart. And so we all were just rejoicing, and she was so happy because she was actually on the worship team, and that was a very precious gift to have her hearing restored to her. We had another miracle on that night, or that I believe it was the day, when Sam Lurch, who many of you know, prayed for a young man, and his eyes, who were milky, they looked like they had, you know, milky substance over them, just cleared up as he prayed for him. So it was one of those wonderful, glorious times when God just broke through. We were a little tired, and one or two of us might have been a little grumpy. Because some of them were sleeping 10 in a room, and it was a little stretching, but it was a glorious time to see the power of God come and do what only God can do. And then He gets the glory. I knew I had no part in that other than just being obedient, just believing God that He can do what He says He will do. And He is still that same God today. So if you need healing, know that He can do that for you. And sometimes it's your faith. Sometimes it's the person who's praying for you faith. Sometimes it's God just breaking in and doing what God does, regardless of the level of faith. And so it was a glorious trip. We saw lots of miracles. And I love my team that went with me. And they're still sitting out here. But let's believe God for more miracles here at Grace House. Now I'm going to ask Pastor Greg. Yeah, amen, God. Give God some glory. Pastor Greg Hughley is going to come, and he and his wife Tracy have been with us, getting close to a year, and he's going to share a glory story.
Awesome. Give Jesus a big hand. Amen. First of all, I want to say how much I love and appreciate Pastor Eddie and Pastor Mickey. Don't you love our pastors? Give them a great big hand. Thank y'all. Well, as she was talking, I just thought about a trip that I got to go on about a year and a half ago to Mexico. Was able to go down and preach at a pastor's conference down in southern Mexico. And, of course, after we spoke, the altars filled up, and I was praying for this young man, and all of a sudden, this is kind of gross, but all of a sudden he began to throw up right between my feet. And, of course, the first thing I thought was, I do not need a stomach virus in southern Mexico. So I asked his wife. Of course, I couldn't speak Spanish, and they couldn't speak English, and we finally got the interpreter over there, and I said, what's going on here? And she said, well, he has bad stomach problems that just he can't hardly function. So we began to pray with him, and the next evening at the service, he came up and said that he was healed. God healed his stomach. How many believes that? Y'all believe in healing? Well, you know, on a more personal note, up until about 2 or 3 months ago, I thought I was about to have rotator cuff surgery on my right shoulder. But you know what? I was going down the road in my truck one day, and I laid my hand on my shoulder, and I said, shoulder, I speak to you in the name of Jesus, and I command the pain to leave, and you cannot stay here. Amen. And you know what? I couldn't do this up until about 2 months ago. I could not raise my shoulder, and now I'm telling you, I believe I could flap both of them and start flying around this place. So every time I get down and I feel like, you know, something's not going my way, you know what I do? I remind myself of what God's done. Amen. You know, Psalms 42 says, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul pants after you, O God. A thirst for God. How many knows if you want to continue to have a thirst for God, you've got to continue to pant after God? And I believe one way you can do that is by remembering what God has done in your life. Amen? And I thought about this today I didn't grow up in church. I went to the first church of heathen. And I met Tracy, and she went to church, and her mama said, well, if you're going to date him, he's going to have to go to church. So, well, you know what I did? I went to church. But it didn't mean much, because when we got married, we quit going. And after a while, I met a guy at work, and I saw him standing there at his machine one day, and he had tears in his eyes. And I walked over to him, and I said, "Man, what's going on?" And he said, "Man, it's just the presence of God so strong." Oh, I'd never heard talk like that. I'm like, so he began to talk to me a little bit, and he said, "You go to church anywhere?" And I said, "Yeah." Told him where we went before we got married, and he said, "Huh. I've been going there for several years. I've never seen you there." That's, well, it's been several years since we've been. So he invited us to come, and we went. And the glory of God came down. We gave our hearts to Jesus 30-some-odd years ago and never looked back. But when we first got saved, how many, you know, you got those moments when you're on the mountain. Anybody ever been on the mountain? Well, that was, you know, that's kind of the way it was when we first got saved. See, I couldn't do this a few months ago. So we would go over to this guy's house, he and his wife, that invited us to church on a Sunday evening after church, and we would pray and seek the Lord till sometimes 2 in the morning. We had to get up at 4:30 to go to work. But it was okay because we were living in the glory, you know? We would leave work at 5 o'clock in the evening, drive all the way to Pensacola, Florida, and get a few hours sleep to get in line before daylight to get in revival service at Brownsville, and stand in line till 7 o'clock at night just to go in to where the glory was, and then drive all the way back home and teach Sunday school the next morning. It was okay, though, because we were living in the glory. But how many knows when you're on the mountaintop, there's a valley. That's when you have to pant. That's when you have to pant for God. And I believe a lot of the ways to do that, again, is just remember what God's done. I remember during that same time period on my way to work one morning, I was in the valley. That mountaintop had kind of worn off before daylight. And I said, "Lord, whether I ever feel your presence again, whether you ever answer another prayer for me again, I'm going to serve you and I'm going to worship you." And when I said that, the glory of God came in my truck. And for 40 minutes on that ride to work, I don't even remember going through the towns I had to go through to get there. But I got there. Amen. It's just remembering what God's done. So now I can pull that up in my memory. You know? And that means something to me. That I was in my bedroom one night praying and seeking the Lord, and the glory came in so strong that I had to crawl out of the bedroom back into the living room. So I can pull that up. You know, the Bible says that David, when he went out to fight the giant, he took his staff, and in that staff he had notches marked, and those notches meant, this notch means this is when I fought the lion and I won. This is when I killed the bear. So it was a reminder of what God had done in his life so he could go out and fight the giant with confidence. So I can pull those things that I've been through, those glory moments, I can pull those in and get through those valley times. Today, as I was riding in the truck, and we've been praying about some things. Anybody ever prayed about something and the answer has been delayed? How many knows it's kind of easy to get discouraged, to have doubt? Today I said, "Lord, forgive me for doubting. Forgive me for, not having the faith that this is going to work out or that's going to work, whatever." And I said, "Lord, I believe your word. I believe what you've spoken. I believe the dreams and visions you've given us." And so I just started praying in the Spirit, and all of a sudden I heard the Lord say, "Your prayers will be answered to the level of your faith." And when he spoke that, I just stopped praying. I said, "Thank you, Lord." And the glory filled my truck. So I want to encourage you, if you're going through that valley time, to think about those things. Pant for the water when you're in the valley. Stir up that thirst. Amen. Well, thank y'all for listening to me. Pam, come on. Pam Matthews, she's going to come. Give her a big hand. appreciate it. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you. Praise the Lord, everybody. When Brother Eddie asked me about testifying, I was like, Lord, I've got so many glory stories, I don't even know where to begin. But I have a glory story about myself. Back several years ago, I went to ministry school. I had went for the 3-week summer intensive, and everybody started to get sick in the school. But I got more sick than anyone else. And everybody started getting sore throats, fever, and all this. And the Lord just happened to put a doctor and an ICU nurse in the house with me because we all shared rooms, you know, we paid and shared the room and everything. But I began to get really, really sick. And I mean, like, I couldn't hardly walk. I couldn't hardly breathe. And they were putting, like, cold compresses under my arms and on the back of my neck. And the next morning, one of the ICU nurse said, Pam, you've got to go get checked out. She said, something's not right, because I felt like I was going in and out of consciousness through the night and everything. So she carries me to they carried me over to the little walk-in clinic, and they said, your blood pressure is like 88 over 50, and your temperature is 103.9. We've got to get you straight over to the emergency room. So we're going to send you over to Holy Spirit Hospital. And I was like, what? Holy Spirit Hospital? And I'm thinking, okay. So I go over there, and as they're checking me out, the doctor comes beside the bed, and he says, listen, if your heart was to stop or if you were to start breathing, do you want us to resuscitate you? And I'm thinking, I said, well, yeah, I got to get back to school. And I thought to myself, well, he must think I'm going to die or something. And I was like, I don't know what's going on. They'd done all kinds of tests on me. They could not figure out what was going on. This was a Friday. By Saturday, they still had not figured out what was going on. My kidneys had begun to shut down. They said, you need to call your family in because we're not sure you're going to make it. And I was like, you're not calling my family because I'm going to make it. I'm coming out of this place. And then Saturday night, they found out that I had the bird flu and I had double pneumonia. But at this time, they didn't know yet that I also was in septic shock. And they put me in the ICU. Like I said, my kidneys were shutting down. It was really bad. And everybody in the school was praying for me, and everybody was coming there and praying for me. But one of the ladies that I had went out there with, this was in Pennsylvania, she comes into the ICU where I'm at. Now I've got all kinds of tubes and everything. I wasn't on a ventilator, but I was on oxygen, and I was really, really sick. I mean, I remember at one minute thinking, you know, I might die, and I thought to myself instantly, because I could hardly talk or anything, and I thought, Pam, do not partner with that thought, because if you do, you're going to die. And so instantly, I had to change the way I was thinking and get back into the place where, okay, I'm going to make it. But my friend came in there and prayed for me. And she said, Pam, she actually just kind of prophesied over me. She said, Pam, I see the word transition. She said, like, from here to there, from this to that, from sick to well. And she said, and I bless you in the name of the Lord. And she walked out. And instantly, my blood pressure went normal. My temperature came back to normal. And I knew instantly I was healed. And the nurse comes walking in, and I said, ma'am, can you take all the, I mean, I've got IVs and, you know, all kinds of stuff. And I said, ma'am, can you take this stuff off me, please? I said, because I'm healed. She looked at me like I was crazy. She said, oh, honey, she said, I don't think you're in your right mind right now. She said, there's no way that you're healed. She said, I mean, you've got lung damage. I mean, like, there's all kinds of stuff wrong, and there's no way you're healed. And I asked her 2 or 3 times, and finally I said, ma'am, no disrespect, but I know I'm healed. Either get the doctor and take this stuff off me, or I'm going to take it off myself because I'm healed and I know I'm healed. Anyways, they ended up putting me in a room that night. I walked out of the hospital the next day with nothing, absolutely nothing wrong with me at all whatsoever. Nothing. And listen, it was nothing I done. Nothing, because I barely even had enough faith. But I'll tell you what. The glory of the Lord manifested in that room. That night when I was in my own room after I came out of ICU, the nurse comes in, and of course, they're still putting on their yellow coats and their masks because of the bird flu and all this. And She began to weep when she walks in the room. And I'm not doing anything. I'm just laying there. Like I said, I can take no credit for any of this. But the glory of the Lord was in that room. And she would walk. She walked in there and began to weep and begin to cry. And she sat there and talked to me. I was thinking, where's your other patients at? But anyways, she told me that she was... She said she was ready to commit suicide. She said she was going home, and her husband, she was going to tell her husband that she wanted to divorce. And before the night was over, she was weeping so hard, her mask was full of black, and she said, I'm going home, and I'm telling my husband, I don't want a divorce. I want us to restore our marriage. And about 8 different people came in the room, and they would just stand there, and they would begin to weep because the glory of the Lord manifested in that room. So praise God. After that, I begin to see miracles. I'm telling you what, I begin to see cancerous tumors disappear, blind eyes open. I even seen the dead raised after that. I mean, yes, so there's my glory story. Bless y'all. Pardon me, tell another one. Okay, well, I want to tell you about the guy that was raised from the dead. I know some of you have heard my testimony about this, but this was one of the greatest miracles that I had seen. You know, I'd go to Kensington, which is an open-air drug market where people can do drugs in the open, and they're not arrested for it. And they're sitting around putting needles in each other's necks. I mean, they're, you know, they got their crack pipes wrapped around their neck like a necklace. And, I mean, police are just walking right over top of them. You know, I would go up there and, like, smack them on the face and pour water in their face and all this stuff. But you just cannot believe it. Look it up sometime on the Internet, on YouTube. It's called Zombieland, they call it. But long story short, I was sitting there. We were standing there. It was January the 18th. I'll never forget it as long as I live. And we all carried Narcan. I don't know if you know what Narcan is, but it's something you squirt up people's nose when they overdose. If you, it pulls all the drugs out of their system, but they'll be thrown into precipitated withdrawals. It's like really, really hard on their body. So none of them will ever Narcan one another. But these three guys were sitting up against the wall, and they had their coats pulled up over their head. It was really cold out, but I knew that they were sitting there shooting up. And all of a sudden, and all of us carried Narcan, I heard somebody holler, "Do you have any Narcan?" And I was like, okay, it's bad because they're hollering. They're, you know what I mean? And so some of my team goes running looking for their Narcan, and Narcan did not even cross my mind. But I looked, and I saw that guy. Because his coat come down off of his face. His lips were black. His hands were black. His face was purple. His eyes were open. His tongue was out, and he was like, I mean, he was dead. He was dead. When you see somebody dead, you know they're dead. I mean, he was dead, dead. And I go running over there, and I put my hand on his head, and I said, in the name of Jesus, I bind the spirit of death, and I loose the resurrection life of Jesus Christ in you. You will not die, but you will live, and you will declare the works of the Lord. And all of a sudden, instantly, that guy goes, and color comes back into his face. And he's sitting there, and he's still kind of passing out. And I was like, get up right now. And I got my arm underneath his arm, and I'm jerking him up, and he finally get him to his feet. And he's like this, and he puts his hands on the wall, and he's standing there for a few minutes, and all of a sudden he takes off running. And I've never seen him again since. But all I know is he's going to declare the works of the Lord in the name of Jesus. Woo!
Thank you, Pam. That's awesome. Amen. Wow. I know a number of you out there, you have your glory stories as well. And this is maybe something we can continue to do, like one Wednesday night a month, just to have a time of testimony like this. I want to share something as well. And this happened in the year 2000. It 2 or 3 years after I was filled with the Holy Spirit. It was not long after Mickey and I had stepped out on faith, left all visible means of support and income, and was just trusting God, ministering to the wider body, and I was doing a lot of stuff overseas. And I was invited to go to India. And we were there. We started services on a Sunday evening and went through Thursday evening. They had a tent set up that would hold about 10,000 people. It was packed out Monday night, Tuesday. We were praying for people every night, and most of the women there had the red dot in the middle of their head, and my hand would almost be red by the time the service was over just from laying hands on people Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night. Wednesday night, they shut the service down. The police came because this was in a big field across from the municipal building there in Vijayawada, India. And we were told that the police had been infiltrating the service because technically there were two of us who were Americans. We were not to allow to preach the gospel, they would say, promote the religion of Christianity in their nation. So the workaround we did is we were going to get up and share a testimony. And we said, we're not really preaching. And so we did that and preached. And so Wednesday night, they shut it down. Well, the pastors got together, and this just amazed me. There are hundreds of these pastors, and many people stayed up all night long. They took that 10,000-seat tent with all its chairs, the porta-potties, the tables, because the pastors were there all through the day, all 4 days. They prepared food for them. And they, like a colony of ants, carried it, walking down the highway about a mile, found another field, and set it all back up. And by the next night, everything was good to go, and we met, and we had a service there. During that service, the worship was just incredible, and it just got thicker and thicker, the presence of God did. And I bore witness to something I've never seen since. Never saw this before, never seen it since. I've seen the reverse of it in football stadiums when the people on the bottom row of the stands begin to stand up and do this, and the people behind them would stand up. You know, when you see the person in front of you, they did a wave, you know, up the stadium. But that night, I'm looking, and it's like way back, all these rows of chairs and people are standing. And the very back row, they started dropping, just dropping to their knees. And the people could not see what's going on behind them, but it was just like a synchronized wave moving across the people, just hitting on their knees, on their faces before God. People started crying out and weeping. I'm watching this, and the brother that was with me is on the platform, and there was another pastor on the platform. The worship team was there, the musicians. And we were watching this, beholding the glory of the Lord, literally. And when it got to the front row, it hit the platform. And it was just like a huge wave of water that hit us. Next thing I know, I go back, I fall to my face, and I'm uncontrollably weeping. Wasn't weeping before, wasn't thinking about weeping before, but it was just like that. The presence of God was so thick, so strong. And for like a half hour, just laying on my face, everybody on the stage was on their face just weeping. I mean, just weeping, my nose, my eyes, my mouth, uncontrollably. It was a very deep repentance. It was a very strong moment of awe that just went on for an extended time. It was glorious. That whole service was glorious. That service was wrecked by the glory of God. And afterwards, the police showed up, and they were coming to arrest me and Pastor Johnny Wade Sloan, who was the other minister. And the believers, got between us and the police. They put us in a car and hurried us away to one of the pastor's homes. And we were there about 30 minutes, and the police showed up at his door. And they came in, and they were cordial, and they said, "You have violated the laws of our nation. You have promoted the religion of Christianity, and that's against our laws." And they said, "We have these papers we need you to fill out. We want you to explain to us what you were doing here, promoting the religion of Christianity, and we want you to fill this out. And they were supposed to just take us and take us to the jail. And the pastor knew one of the officers and talked to them, and they said, well, we're going to go and we're going to come back in about an hour. We'll give you time to fill these papers out. And so they left, and after they left, there was one of the pastor's church members who actually worked at one of the desks in the police office and called the pastor and said, listen, these guys have arrived back. They're going to be coming back. They're going to arrest the two preachers, and they're going to put them in jail. So you need to get them out of town now. So they put us in a vehicle, carried us down to a train station, and they told us that basically probably what they would have done is put us in a jail cell. They would put a couple of ruffians in there, and they would rough us up and then probably let us go. So I don't know. I'm glad that didn't happen. But they put us on a train, 6 hours on a train. We got to Hyderabad. When we got there, we didn't go in the hotel because we were informed the police were waiting on us at that hotel. And so they hid us out in another pastor's house until they got some airline tickets from a smaller airport to fly us down to Mumbai. And we made it there and finally flew through Paris and then came home. So it was a lot of different emotions on that trip. But I would do it again to see that glory of God. I've never seen something just like that ever before. I've been in some glorious services, some very powerful, seen numbers of healings. But that was just such an incredible move of God. It was absolutely unorchestrated. Man didn't have anything to do with it. It's just like the winds of heaven swept through that place. The presence of God overwhelmed the people, and there were no standing people. It was just like everybody was laid on their face before the Lord. And it was amazing, amazing thing. And I thank God for that. He does that kind of stuff. He heals people when doctors say there's no hope. He sets people free from things they thought they would never be freed from. He can restore that family that thinks it's irreparably torn apart. He does stuff like that, as Mickey shared. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we want to have a place here, as I preached on Sunday, where we're hosting God's presence. And let's hold each other accountable. We're not going to try to make something happen. We don't want anything of human fabrication. But we want to be obedient. And, you know, strange things happen in the presence of God. Supernatural things happen in the presence of God. So ready yourself, have an open heart, and let's believe together. The water level is going to rise, the winds of heaven are going to blow, the rains from heaven are going to fall, and the glory of the Lord is going to touch lives here in this place, this people, in this region. Amen? Amen. Thank those of you who shared tonight. Didn't they do an awesome job? Thank you for those testimonies. Don't they serve an awesome God? Would you stand, please? And I want to ask our prayer team members to come tonight. And, you know, God might want to do something in your life right now. He's here. He's here. Why not? Do you need a miracle in your body? You need a miracle in your finances? Do you need a miracle in your marriage? You have a prodigal that needs to come home? You have a burden that's this so heavy you can't bear it? I remember when I was in Nigeria, they had these posters. Biale, Biale was the language there. That was the words in their language because I learned that. It means come and see. Come and see. When they were telling people about Jesus, come and see. Come and see. I believe that's just probably the best advertisement ever, isn't it? when Jesus is shining bright and God is moving and people are saying, you've got to see this. Come, come. You've got to experience his presence. And Lord, let's lift our hands. We lift our hands to you tonight. And we pray, Father, that you would do with us what you will. Have your way. Lord, as we've heard these testimonies, we have been stirred up by way of remembrance. Thank you for all the times you've done great things. That loads us, Lord, to expect for greater things yet to come. And Lord, I want to climb up on your word. You said, Jesus, you said that the works that you do, you said this when you were here on earth, that the works that you do, shall we do also, and greater works than these. Lord, it's kind of hard to wrap our minds around that, but you said it, so we receive it. Do what you will tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need prayer, why don't you come on up right now? Holy Spirit, have your way. Anyone, you feel free to come.
You danced over me while I am unaware.
With him all things are possible.
You sing all around.
Anyone else, you come.
But I never hear the sound. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm
he loves you so much.
By you.
With him all things are possible.
Lord, I'm amazed by you. How you love me.
If you need someone to pray with you, or if you just need to come and pray at this altar, feel free to do that as well. Anyone else, you come.
Lord, I'm amazed by you, how you love me. How I
welcome you, Holy Spirit.
How deep.
Touch hearts in this house tonight. Move with power, move with might.
How great.
I encourage you between now and this coming Lord's Day on Sunday, draw aside. Pray for our services on Sunday. Invite a friend to come with you. And when we get here Sunday, let's press in during worship. And let's expect God to move with power. So many people need that touch from heaven. Amen. Thank you so much for being here this evening. We're going to leave the altar open. We'll continue to pray. But God bless you. You may go your way when you feel led to do so. May the kiss of heaven be upon you as you go. In Jesus' name.